Let us give the more honesty to the things that we have already heard. At any time we shall let them slip. For if the word spoken by the angel was steadfast, and every transgressor and disobedient received a just recompense and reward, how could we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I have really enjoyed myself just being in this meeting. I didn't know that the old Baptist had so many good preachers. And everyone I heard was preaching Jesus and Him crucified, pointing to the cross of Christ. Now I stand before you with much fear and trembling. I stand leaning and depending on an independent God. Because since I have been preaching, and I have been trying to preach for 22 years, I haven't ever got used to it yet. And each time I stand before such a great people, it seems to me that I am the empty pitcher and I am facing the full fountain. I never was an inner high preacher, and I cannot preach without the Spirit of the Almighty God. I would that you pray to that Almighty God while I try to preach His word. I've heard many things since I've been here that will even do me good. I've heard the doctrine of election. I've heard the doctrine of work put in its place. And we need it so bad. I get afraid sometimes when I talk to some Primitive Baptists, and they say, well, I can do anything I want to do. If I'm in that number that was for the foundation of the world, I'm going to heaven. Well, who really said you was in that number? I love the doctrine of election and predestination that God told His people in Christ before the foundation of the world, but I do not love to preach it in a slighter way that you may leave me and say, if I'm in that number, I do like I want to do, I'm gone. But I believe if you are in that number and have been born again, you don't want to do any kind of way. I love to preach it like that. That it makes a change in your life, and the things you used to love to do, you may do them, but you don't like to do them. You find your conscience worrying you for going against God's will. I would like to call your attention to the third verse of the 23rd chapter of Job. The third verse of the 23rd chapter of Job, the words of Job, I will read the third and the fourth verse. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his feet. I would order my case before him and fill my mouth with argument. I would know the words which he would answer me. He would answer me. And I would understand what he would say to me. Job had a great case. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I would come even to his feet. I've sat in the seat of my brethren, my friends, my wife, and I have been condemned. But if I could turn in judgment in history, I would order my case before him. And I would fill my mouth with argument. And I would know what he's going to ask of me and what I would say to him. I want to say, my dears, that Job's case was a case. It has been said that Job was a perfect and upright man, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. I don't believe Job was perfect as some preachers preach it. But I believe he was perfect because the Bible said he was. The best way to understand the Bible is first believe what it says. And if you don't believe what it says, you'll never understand. Some people say, I believe the red writing, but I don't believe the black writing. Well, Jesus hadn't wrote anything in the Bible. The men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 44 writers and none of them were Jesus. And if you believe part of it and you don't believe the other, then I can't talk to you too long. I was talking to a man the other day and he said, did Jesus say that? I said, well, Paul said. He said, no, I just want what Jesus said. Well, what Paul said is just as important as what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John wrote about what Jesus said. And if you don't believe it from Genesis through Revelation, then you'll never understand. The first step in understanding God's Word is believing it. I read a lot of things that I don't understand, but I believe what it said is true. Now before I start preaching, I want to say that I'm the kind of preacher that preaches what I believe. And if you differ with me, right there's where I differ with you. The same place where you differ with me is the same period and part where I differ with you. But I must preach what I believe to make myself not a hypocrite. And I do not believe that Job was a perfect man as though he never sinned. And that he had no sin. But he was a perfect man. It was proven that he was a perfect man. So perfect until the devil couldn't turn him around on the path that he was traveling. He had a perfect desire and a perfect determination that he could use these words, though he slay me, yet will I trust. After they have talked about what's going to happen to you, as much as to say, you say it's God that's doing this to me, but in all the days of my appointed times, I'm going to wait until my change comes. And those things he was perfect. He had a perfect determination that I am going all the way, and I know that my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to. And that he could go on. But he had a case. His case got started when the devil got on his track. Now I want to say, my dear, that every one of you that has been regenerated and born again, you talk about that day when you were changed. Well, let me let you in on a secret. That was also the day when the devil got on your track. Goes to church with you, goes home with you, goes on the job with you, and trying everything he can to turn you around. He went to church. He went where the sons of God had met together. And this afternoon, the sons of God has met together, and he's here somewhere. I don't know where he is. He might be in the midst of some of the 20 preachers that's here. He might be in the midst of some of the deacons, but he is here somewhere trying to change your mind from trusting in a living God. You can put him behind you. You can go on. He went to God first. He had a conversation about Job. God had him to understand, have you considered my servant Job? When the devil consider you and that you are so strong and that you plan to go all the way, he said, minister to try to turn you around. Told him there wasn't a man like him. He's a perfect and he's an upright man. He failed me. Let me tell you that I've been in a lot of homes, and sometimes when families have disturbance, they like to call the preacher. And I've been called many times to go to a home and to talk with the wife and to talk with the husband and the children. But when I go to a home and find in that home that there are children that do not bear my path, I know that they're headed for danger. When you have children that have no fear for you as their parent, you headed for danger. And any of God's children that does not fear Him, you in a bad condition. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And you cannot have wisdom about my God unless you fear Him. Somebody said once that it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the Lord. And my dear, when the devil began to get on Job's track, it fit many of us today, and I know it fit me. That's why he tried to stop Job from trusting in God. He tried to make a reason that Job was serving God. And let me tell you, if your reason for serving God is because you're rich, or if your reason for serving God is because you're poor, if your reason for serving God is because your past told you to, you don't have much to stand on. Job had a good reason. When the devil began to talk to him, he said, he served you for naught. You have put a hedge around him, but if you will put forth your fingers and touch that he has, I'll make him touch it to your face. Just to see so many people in their trials and tribulations, they say, where is that God? I hate to see people turn their back on God because they had a few troubles in the world. And a few trials and a few tribulations. They try to make God come when they want. I can let you in on a secret. God is a time-moving God. And He may not come when we want Him, but He's always on time. And He will always come at His own just and appointed time. But there's sometimes we want to hurry out of God. And we say, if there be a God somewhere, then why am I having so many trials and why am I having so many tribulations? But God did not promise that we would travel through this unbarren land on the cloud of heaven. We are just traveling through an unclouded glory on our way to that dead resting place beyond this veil of tears, a place that where no sorrows and no trials, no tribulation will ever enter there. And while we are traveling on this dead road, we're going to have trials and we're going to have tribulation. Somebody said, and we know the causes that Jesus had. We know the troubles that He had, and He hadn't done anything. But old Dr. Watt looked at him and he said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the saints go free? Well, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. I want to bear my cross until I get on the other side. Because I know that if God is with me, He can make my burden light. Some people look at others sometimes and they say, I don't see how they stand so much. I don't see how they can go through with so much and yet stay on the battlefield. But my God declared, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We ought to learn something about Jesus. We learned about our schools. We learned about our many things in the world. We learn about our jobs and we study hard to make our good the job that we're working on. But we ought to learn something about Jesus. And when we learn about Him, we can realize that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Job went on that morning when the devil began to talk to him. Many of you, I know how the story goes. The man lost so much. We have the old saying that when it rains, it pours. And look like all of our troubles are come at one time. We look back and we can say, I can remember when I had everything like I wanted. And I didn't have any trials or tribulations. But let me tell you, every child of God are going to have some trouble sometimes. And you don't know much about God if you haven't never had any trials, and you never had any tribulations, you've never been through the fire furnace, you've never been in a loud den, or you've never been corrupt with the things of the world. You don't know much about God. But when you have had these things, you can speak like Paul did, and Paul declared that I glory in tribulations, I glory in my distress, I glory in my persecutions, I glory in my necessities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because I met a man one day that when I had my burden carrying, I had a thorn in my flesh. I talked to him for 3 times. I heard an answer from heaven telling me, oh, I go on, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. He didn't say that he would remove the thorn in the flesh. I'ma just get on my grace. I'ma is sufficient for me. So I take all my trials. I take all my tribulations. I mix them up together. I can take all my bitterness and take all of my sweets and serve him up my elders. I get a banner flashing and keep on going. For my God is all right. And I declare you'll fight my battle. But the old devil tried Job in a mean way. Job had everything he needed. How many of us that got a bank account, have a fine automobile, got a fine home? If you return home and you had lost everything you had, would you still trust God? That morning, Job heard the news, the ultimate third one. All your cattle are dead. All 500 are your cattle, they're all dead. Not only that, all the 700 of your sheep, they are all dead also. And not only that, but your sons and your daughters, they were making merry in their oldest brother's house, and there come an east wind, and it tore the building down, and all your sons and daughters are dead. And Job looked around, and he told me he took a razor, and shaved himself, and fell down. I was back to Mother Earth. He fell so low, he wanted to fall back to the earth. For just was he taken from, and he felt like just I'm going to return. And he looked up heaven ways, he fooled the devil that morning. The devil didn't think of a brother tell what he said, but he said, naked, I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord God did it, and the Lord God take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the devil didn't like that. Nobody said that old silly man done lost everything he had. Even he knows God ruled the wind, and a wind done blow down his house and kill all his sons and daughters. And yet he told me, the Lord did it, and the Lord take it away. And I told him to trust God, and he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So the devil tried again. He's hard to give up. He's not going to give up so easy. And some of us think, I thought it too, that if I ever get in that old Baptist church, all of my troubles will be over. Those are the best people it is in the world. If I could just get a seat with them, I wouldn't have no more troubles at all. But I've had more troubles in old Baptist church than I've ever had anywhere else. But let me tell you something. I am out of a lot of afflictions, which is but for a moment. They work it for us. That eternal. I wait on glory. It let me understand that after while all of these old trials are going to be over, and I got a home beyond this veil of tears, and I'm going to wait till my things come. The devil tried him again. So he done lost all he had. Job says it was the case. He done lost everything he had. But he still got his foot. If you put forth your hands and touch his flesh, he'll touch it to your face. Our God told him, says, go on. But save his life. Let me tell you, God will not allow Satan to destroy your eternal life. He can destroy your joy. He can destroy you time in the world. He can cause you to lose the best things you have. But he cannot cause you. He can cause you to lose the fellowship in the old church on earth. But that relationship that you have by the good blood Christ of Jesus, he cannot cause you to lose it. That eternal life is in God's hand. And the old devil went out to time again. And he took Job down the shoulder from the top of his head down to the sole of his feet. And you know the devil got a way of getting to man. When he wanted Adam to transgress God's law, he went with the closest thing it was to Adam, which was Adam's wife. When he got ready for Samson to tell the dread policeman where his sick was, he wept in a woman that Samson loved. Samson loved her for her beauty, but she loved him for his strength, to find out where it was. And the devil was working with her. And by and by, when old Samson began to play around, God had told his wife, God had told Samson's mother, instruct this child when you bring him up, that a razor is never to touch him, to be put on his head. And Samson began, he knew that no razor wasn't to be put on his head. But let me tell you, you shouldn't play with God. You play with one another all you want. But God is not a place to be, and you shouldn't pray with God. And if you've got a gift to preach, you ought to use what God says. Sometimes we preachers use our gift of praying around with God and to make us feel so great. And Captain began to pray. He first said, if you bind me with wits that never been broke, all my sin be gone. He knew it wouldn't. He knew if I just do what God said, everything would be all right. He began to tell him to take some new ropes that never used. And if they bind me, I won't have no strength. But she laid with him that night. The devil was in the plan. And if she laid with him that night, she said, you love me. You say you love me. And if you love me, you'll tell me all your secrets. You'll tell me where your sin lies. And after she talked to him so long, and he told her, if he said, you said, walk to my head, then all my sin will be gone. And he thought that the thing was going to happen. But when they said the 7 locks of his head, he said, I'll get up and I'll walk out just like I've been doing. I see some preachers the same way. They live a raggedy, dirty life. And they say, I can preach like I want to preach. But by and by, and after a while, God will take that gift from him and give it to somebody else. No preacher is any better than the life that he lived. If you want to tell somebody how to live, you ought to live right yourself. If you want to tell somebody to walk right, you ought to walk right yourself. You ought to be partakers of the things in which you preach. And something thought that I can tell these lies, but I do just like I've been doing. But when Samson walked out that morning, the God of heaven had turned his back on him, and all his strength was gone. And the first thing they did, they put out his eyes. Child of God, when the devil get on your track, the first thing he want to do is to put out your eyes. How I blind you from the old truth. How I took your picture, don't change the world. How I heard the prophet Paul declare one morning, how brethren, my heart desire, and prayer to God for Israel, how that they might be saved. How for I bathed them a river, that they have the zeal of God. Every child of God, how I got the zeal of God, how I but not according to knowledge. They don't know the knowledge of the old truth. I'll bear them record that they have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. How they've been ignorant of God's righteousness, and have gone about and established their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Why? Because of this world, I have blinded their eyes, and they have turned their eyes from the truth. But we ought to stick by the old Bible, regardless of how this world is. Let God's word be true, and every man alive. We got so many educators in the world. Some are saying there is no God. They call it college that my son go to. He came home the other day, and he said, Father, my teacher told me that there's no such thing as a God. I said, well, what do you think about it? He said, well, I believe it is. But he says not. I turned to the old Bible, and I said, son, it reads like this. The fool has said in his own heart, that there is no God. So you got a teacher that's a fool. That's saying there is no God. For God lives, and he's going to stand at a latter day on the earth. So anybody that tells you there ain't no God, I just accept him as a fool and go ahead on. But there is a God somewhere. I told you born to die. When he took Job that morning, Job began to search his jail. His wife hadn't said a word. But the devil began to deal with his wife. And his wife walked out and said, why don't you curse your God and die? That's what the devil said he would do. But he looked at her face that morning and said, you talk like one of the foolish women talk. And you don't talk like my wife. We have received good things in the world. Shouldn't we receive them there? I just stood right there. Because he knew something. When a child of God knows something, anything won't turn you around. When you know something for yourself, the cry is good and this old mean world. Job said, so I go to the left, and my God is gone to the right. And when I go to the right, he's gone to the left. Doesn't it seem like that sometimes? But I heard Job say, he knows the way that I have taken. And when he has cried, I'm going to come forth as gold. Although I call my wife, that you won't give me no answer. I talked with my three friends, and they're all enemies to me. Little children came to me, and they wouldn't have a word to say. But I know something. I got a witness. I told you, born to die. When you feel you got a witness, you ought to go and serve God in the high. Regardless of what the devil said, I got a witness. My witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. And I heard Job, when his soul was on him, and he was having a hard time, I heard him begin to talk with the little hope that he had. And Job said, is there hope of a tree when it is cut down? That the root fell off, might spring up again, and that tree lived. And then Job looked around, and he said, in all that my Lord's appointed time, I'm going to wait till my things come, because I know something. I would that my words were written, I would they were clear with an iron pen. And because I know something. I would that my words were written. I would they were cleaved with an iron pin and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he's gonna stand on the earth at a latter day. How I devils on my skin wounds, how I defiled my body, yet in my flesh I'm gonna see my God. When the skin wounds got so low, I heard him say, "Will you hide me? How I in the grave?" And taught me a fifth time, "For when you call, I'm gonna answer you." He had a good hope that morning that after a while, my God's gonna call me, and I'm gonna answer him. And I'm not satisfied here now. I'm wrapped up in soul, I'm wrapped up in trial. I just lost all I had. But in that beautiful morning, when I wake in his likeness, I'm gonna be satisfied. I'll be satisfied in a while. I'll be beyond this veil of tears. There's a home waiting on every corridor. Job's case was a case. A case that man didn't understand. A case that man couldn't settle or do any good. But if you excuse me a little while, I want to tell you about another case that was a greater case than Job had. And that case was your case. And my case also. We was in a bad condition. As we see Job going on, he said, "If I knew where I might find him." Don't you want to talk to God sometimes? Every child of God let you talk to him sometimes. I'll tell him all about my trouble. If I could come to his feet, I would order my case before him. I fill my mouth with argument. I would know the words that he's going to ask for me. And I would know what I'm going to say. But let me tell you, if you ever experienced God, you didn't say what you thought you were going to say. And you didn't know what you were going to say. And sometimes when I get up to preach, I try to outline my sermon to say just what I want to say. But I find what I want to say leaving me. And I'm being led by another force that I have no power over. As he sat there that morning, how as God knows when a child is putting his trust in him. And as he sat there that morning, how as God had a way of getting to him. How you know I'm originally from Arkansas. And in Arkansas, they used to have whirlwind. I don't see many of them in California, but you would see a whirlwind. You would see the dust and the leaves. I was going round and round. And they tell me it was a whirlwind. And they tell me God prayed to Job. I was in a whirlwind. I thought, got a way of getting no attention. I saw it get on and die. When God want to talk to you, God can get your attention. Sometimes when I preach, I can't get your attention. Sometimes you sit down, you go to sleep, and you don't know a thing I said. And sometimes my sermon is so dull that it might cause you to go to sleep. But God knows how to get your attention. They tell me old preacher was preaching once, and a man that he loved, that he wanted to understand what he was preaching, the old man went to sleep, and he called his son and said, "Son, wake up that man." And the son looked at him, the son said, "Really tired?" And he said, "You put him to sleep, wake him up yourself." And I asked, "Father God, how I know a God that knows know how to get your attention. Every time I preach, I look to have your attention. But I might not get it. But when God wanna get your attention, on a cloud, he knows how to get it. When he got Gideon's attention, he appeared as an angel in an oak tree. When he got Moses' attention, he appeared as a fire, as a fire in the midst of a burning bush. When he got ready to get Paul across the attention, he appeared with some shining, that hot shine, the noonday sun. But God knows how to get attention. And that morning, Job being a country boy, he started a whirlwind. And when Job turned to see the whirlwind, he heard the voice of God. And he said, "Oh, Job, Job, a long time wanting to talk with God. A long time nobody couldn't do his case no good. A long time nobody couldn't understand his trouble. But his day said, "Oh, Job, I stand up like a man. I want to talk to you this morning, and I demand that you answer. If you think you know so much, I'll talk to God sometime. If you think you can argue with him, I have a conversation with him, you'll wind up thanking him for being so good to you. You'll wind up thanking him for his merciful hand that looks over you all night long. I want you to stand up like a man, and I'm going to demand of you an answer. You done said that you will order your case before me. I got your case now, and I want to answer from you. You say you don't feel your mouth. We'll argue, man. I want to talk to you this morning, and if you can make yourself in my seat, and then I'll listen to you. What kind of God do we have? Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? What angel are the earth hanging on? Where were you, Job, when I hung the sun? Out there in the silver stars, when the stars of heaven shouted for joy, and the sons of God sung silent songs? Where were you, Job, when I stretched out the deep? I want to ask you something. Do the wind, have a father, do the snow, have a mother. I want to talk to you, Job. I want you to tell me, can you bind the honeycomb and make him do like you want him? Answer me, Job, if you're able to answer me. Job, where were you when I fixed everything and I laid it in order? Even before the foundation, I had everything in order. You let that like you say, that you helped me do something. Where were you when I done all these things? I heard Job, and he sat there that morning, and he said, "I put my hand over my mouth." How do you know that's the way we are? We talk too much sometimes about what you are. You ought to put your hand over your mouth and listen to God. He's a mighty good God. The thing that I want to say, I'm not going to say them. Such wisdom is too high for me. But if you excuse me, I'd like to go to another case that was tougher than Job's case. A man had a case. That he couldn't do himself no good. Abraham, God, was dead in trespasses and in sin. Man's case, was a case. He couldn't do himself no good. He tried for 4,000 years to get out of the state that he was in. But every year, a fool had to die. A goat had to die. A lamb had to die. And some Somebody said he rolls in from 1 year to another, but he didn't ever move in. He never rolls in. He just answered for 1 year, and the next year, the thing had to happen again. The priest would go in in the altar and tell God about the case of man, and every year these sacrifices they came about. But just as I stood in the court of glory and said, "Oh man, pay me what you owe me," and man with thousands of palatine did, and not a thing to pay. Man's case was a case when the manuscript was written, and man's sin was brought before man. He was dead in sin. He was wrapped up in iniquity. I just was kept demanding. Oh man, I tell you what you owe me. But my Lord, in a weary land, I knew your case in mine. I heard him. I said to his father one morning, "I found a pocket with girl. I shall see the funeral. If I clean it with hell, I shall not stand. If I dead men, I shall live again. Together with my dead body, I shall they arise. How a man, I was in a bad condition. How a song, how I couldn't justify him. How preaching and praying, how I couldn't justify him. How living a good life, how I couldn't justify him. I do good and live, and don't do and die. I've been made up in their mind that I'm a hell, a deserving creature. But somebody, I had a hope beyond the kings of the world. And old man Dandrum, I had a great hope in man's face. That he thought he'd fix up a while. Now I saw a redeemer, I saw him coming. I hewed out a mountain without hand. I saw him rolling down through that room. I turned down the kings of the world. I drove for him, and he said, "I saw him. He looked like a horse torn in the valley. He did so saw him. He looked like a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Picked me up and set me in the midst of a valley full of dry bones. I said, 'Can these bones live again?' Your bones were all dried up. You didn't have no hope in the world at all. But the man that took your case, you know, in this world, you get a case sometimes. Sometimes your case is murder, and you hire the best lawyer. You pay him the best money. And the way this wicked world is run, I don't care what the man done. If you got enough money, you can get him off. If you got enough money, you can get a good lawyer and get him to tear the case and get him to throw it out, because money bought it. But you didn't have no money. You didn't have nothing to pay. You were in a bad condition. But the God of heaven said, "I love you with an everlasting love. God's love always stood. Even when you were dead in sin, my God loved you in a high. And when the great man, how I walked out with your case, he said, 'I'm tired of the offerings of blood and bulls. I'm tired of your new moon and your party pieces. My soul has got no delight in them.' Then said I, 'Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. I do thy will, O God.' They wrote about me. Abraham wrote about me. Isaac and Jacob wrote about me. I do his will. And he skipped out of heaven. The angels looked around and said, 'Well, he's a good man.' You can see the lawyers come in. When they own a cave, they got a bag in their hand. They done searched the history. They got everything. But the pain to the crime, in a little bag. I heard the angels. I said, 'Heard the good man.' They said, 'The good man is not at home. He's
on a long journey. He's got a bag of money with him, and he's going to return home.
I'll have a time appointed. He knows how I want to pay.
But when he got ready to come, the dollar bill was behind him. And he said, my word, it's going out of my mouth. And he tell me, I'll return to me, boy. What's going to do? It's a pastor. Our very nice thing. It's going to accomplish our very nice thing. And the word, how I in the beginning, was the word. I was Matthew, Mark, Luke, John talked about it. How I the word, it talked about it with God the Father, and God the Word, and God the Holy Ghost. How I God the Word, how I left for good home, how everything was alright, how I did it goodbye. How I forgot the Son, and God, I did it goodbye. How I God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost, and come lay down in a mean world, on your case and mine. But he had everything that it took to justify you and I. How he had salvation, how in his God, he had healing, how in his way. When he come down, how they talked about him. But as he said, among the doctors and lawyers, he knew what he had to do. They didn't have a thing. How they show a thing to go. When his mother talked to him, he looked at her and said, woman, don't you know it's time for me to go about my father's business? He had a job to do. When he was on his journey, he met a blind man he never seen in his life. He met me one time. I had never seen with a stick alive, but he opened my blind eyes and unstopped my deaf ears. He had no case in mind. The blind man cried out, oh, David, have mercy on me. He just stood on the ground and he made pray. And as I left to put it, there were more power in God's gift than all the preachers in the world. How I asked God, he just stood on the ground and he made some pray. And he nodded the blind man's eyes and said, go on down. How I took the truth alone. And what I like about him, how I he tell the world. One thing I know, the man never has been to a blind school. He had no education. He had no learning. But it's one thing that I know, that I was blind and now see. And the man that opened my eyes, it was one called Jesus that walked by me one morning. Have he ever walked by you? Have he ever opened your blind eyes? Have he ever took your case and blotted out your transgression? As he went on that morning, he had your sins in mind. They talked about him. They saw him. They joined him in a kind of way. But he had a job to do. It was your sin, my sin. I'll be a look at him. And when I be a son, I'll be a declare that he's going to be bruised for our iniquity. And then he's done. He was wounded for our transgression. Chastisement of our peace will lie on him, and by his stripes we are healed. We all were like sheep, how I gone astray. Man saved for the cave, but he went on when he got ready, how to go to Calvary. I heard him when he talked to his father and said, oh Father, the hour is come, glorify thy son. I want my glory back. I'm going to cap the last thing off. I'm going to walk the last mile of the journey. The hour has come. I want you to give me my glory back. As I had with you, I've put it down in the world. I've done what you told me to do. I finished the way that I came down here to do. Where did you come from? I heard him say, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me. Of all that Father give me, I shall come to me. I done finished it. I'm ready to go back home. As he journeyed on out, he had to go through a garden of bitterness and sorrow. They call it Gethsemane. He told the preachers, How a little hard on preachers that claim to help their man saved. You didn't do no good. He went down on his knees. He fell down on his face. And he said, oh Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And if you ever had a chance to help him, you had it then. You didn't even have it then, but if you had it, you had it then. Now let's see what a preacher was. My God got up. He saw Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all them fell asleep. And he told them, wake up. Can't you just stay awake a little while I pray? He went back and prayed again. When he come back, those same preacher had gone to sleep. Look, y'all, and went on the calendar. I heard him say, sleep on, sleep on, and take your rest. I'm going home now. He had your case. Has he joined it all up? The old king looked at him, and he said, are you the king? He said, you say I am. He said, well, what you doing him? He said, well, this him who was I born. It was his call. I came out of the world that they might know the truth. And they sit down. They slapped him. They beat him. They scared him inside. He never said a mumbling word. I wish I was like that. We'd like to fight back sometime. If you fight me, I'll fight you. But if your case is in God's hands, everything is all right. Never did he fight back. He just hung there. And he heard him say, Lama Lima, Sabbath the better now. My Father, my God, why has thou forsaken me? How I God let him know, I'll forsake you for a little while. As you go down in the agony of death, but I'm with you, son. You were with me when I laid the foundation of the world. You're not like Job. You know what action. I'll be earth hanging on. I'll walk it a while. He caught the world in his all wise power and begin to rock it. And somebody said it healed and walked like a drunk man. Looked at the sun and the sun went down and sank all in ashes. Moon took away in blood. Stars fell from the heaven. I told that fed him in the sky. Those that spit in the face, those that talked about him, those that said he was nothing but a cock in the stone. He said, surely, 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 must have been the Son of God. When he went down in the grave, everything was all right. Your case was fixed, Jesus was satisfied. Lamb stopped dying, done off the day no more good. If you offer it, don't mean nothing. Into that night, don't need a thing. He got ready that morning. Got up out the old grave. Rolled the stone back. I wish I'd have been there. But my God, I got up that morning. I said, oh, power. Lord, have mercy. All power is in my hand. I can only go that no man said. He opened the door for me one morning. And the devil has taken it up. In all my joy, have a piece of my will. In all my desire, he's all my salvation. He's my rock in the virgin land. He's my eternal, everlasting Father. He's everything I need.
Man's case was a case. But you know, we got some sinners that they call them three-time losers, five-time losers. They were condemned, put in jail, they let them out, and they got right back in the same condition again. And let me tell you something as it pulls out. You were condemned. You were put in the jail of hell. You had no God on your side. You never be put back. You've been given out. And you'll never be put back again. He'll never come back to God. When he comes, we got a lot of people in the world ain't doing right. We got a lot of people been confused by the mean doctrine of the world. But this great man said, hey, shall be mine. In that day when I make up my sin, I'm going to stand.